his bitterness, the poet rebuked her and said to her, "Lovely Fame, even in the highways and the byways you have not forborne to laugh and shout and jest with worthless men. And I have toiled for you and dreamt of you, and you mock me and pass me by." And Fame turned her back on him and walked away. But in departing, she looked over her shoulder and smiled at him as she had not smiled before. And almost speaking in a whisper, said, "I will meet you in the graveyard at the back of the workhouse in 100 years. That was The Assignation by Lord Dunsany, read by Eleanor Elizabeth Forman.
And we thank you so much for doing that. It's 10 o'clock and live from New York. This is WBAI in New York City. It's time for Off the Hook. Good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Hook. This is Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday night live for the first time in 3 weeks. Last week we were preempted for a mini-thon, and the week before that, Fiber, you went to prison again.
Wow.
I understand. I just heard rumors about this. I understood that there wasn't an announcement made that it was a repeat, and I left specific instructions saying, make sure you say that that's a repeat, that he's not going off to prison again, and... I don't know if that actually happened. If it didn't happen, I apologize, and I hope people didn't go crazy thinking that it was all happening again.
Well, I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah. Imagine turning on the radio and hearing your last show before you go to prison.
Wow.
That was taped in January of 1994.
Yes, it was.
Yes, and hopefully that won't be reoccurring. We may also be hearing from Bernie S. tonight. Actually, I've been away since I guess about 3 weeks ago. In California, Las Vegas, places like that. Las Vegas is a vile town. I just got to say that. It's so incredibly... it's hot, for one thing. It's always about 120 degrees. But apart from that, it's just so phony, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, I got sick, okay? So if you're going to be sick, Las Vegas is not the town to be in. Because everybody's, you know, so happy and jovial and fake. And there's lights flashing around you and... Yeah, it's you never know if it's daytime or nighttime. That's the idea. When you walk through those casinos, you never see a window. You never see a clock. You never know what day or what time it is. The idea is just to stay there forever.
You know? You got to bear in mind that the town was basically put on the map by a gangster.
Well, yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. Although, we flew over today in the airplane, and I was able to look down and actually see the building that I stayed in, you know, and because they all have bizarre shapes. One looks like a pyramid. And it looked so tiny and insignificant from the sky. So that was a big comfort to me, just knowing that.
Did you remember the blue box on the way back?
No, I didn't play with the airphone at all because it was a very cramped plane, very cramped. And the lady next to me was rather well endowed, let's put it that way. And for me to get to the phone would have made for positions I really didn't want to get into. So it wasn't worth the attempt as far as I can see. But... I play with it a lot on the way over. I can hardly wait to see my phone bill. And made all kinds of bizarre calls. You know, you can call information for free. I've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
But from an air phone, you can call information for free. And, you know, that's kind of a neat little trick. You could, I suppose, start a business where you get on an airplane with a list of numbers that people want you to look up. And... You charge them 50 cents each, and if you have enough of those, you can spend the whole time on the phone, and it'll pay for your trip. Let's see if Bernie S. is here. Bernie, you there?
This is Locktel. You have a collect call from...
Bernie S.
To accept the call, please dial 9 now. You do not... Please go ahead. You are now connected.
Bernie S., are you with us?
Good evening.
How you doing?
I'm doing as well as one can in a federal prison, I suppose.
Now, I've fallen out of touch. I was away in California, and, you know, we tried having people around the phone to pick up at certain times, but when you're in prison, of course, you can never tell when you're going to be able to make a phone call.
Very true.
So we pretty much missed you 100% of the time. So, actually, we don't have any idea what's been happening with you over the past several weeks.
During your absence, but it was unsuccessful. So, in any case, I guess you folks haven't been informed that my trial was rescheduled until September 8th.
Wow.
So
from July 31st to September 8th, that's quite a...
Well, we needed at least another week because the government dropped several hundred additional pages of what's called discovery material or evidence they plan to use against me at the trial.
Now, have you had a chance to go through these pages?
I have. They dropped a lot of it on me at the last minute, just a couple of days before July 31st. And obviously I needed more time to go over the stuff and figure out what it all meant. So we requested a one-week delay. The prosecutor said that she would have to delay it for 2 weeks because she had a trial the following week. It would conflict with mine. And a judge in his infinite wisdom decided to schedule it on September 8th. The judge also decided that it would be appropriate for me to have another bail hearing, and he, in his wisdom, scheduled that for September 7th.
Oh, wonderful.
So
you don't get a bail hearing until one day before your trial.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Well,
September 7th, huh?
Yes, I wouldn't presume to tell that to a judge that he was crazy, but that's the decision. The prosecutor has conceded that she no longer feels that I'm a danger to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And
so why do they have to wait 3 weeks to get you a bail hearing?
It's up to a judge. Federal judges can pretty much decide what they want to decide, and you know, if I want to appeal his decision, I can delay things further.
I guess so. You always have that option.
So I will have a bail hearing September 7th and a trial September 8th.
So it'll be a busy couple of days for you, Ben.
Yes, and the next 3 weeks or so will be pretty busy planning. We have rounded up at least one expert witness and are trying to find at least another one, and gone over some of the technical materials that they've submitted, the prosecution has submitted, and sometime in the next week or two I will actually have the opportunity to physically examine this evidence in person.
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia. They'll have to, the U.S. Marshals will have to put me in shackles and chains and transport me by van from South Jersey to...
Wow, so you get a little field trip, huh?
Yeah.
Get transported in shackles to your hometown.
And mm-hmm. I'll actually be able to look at this equipment that they're saying was possibly could be intended to... Could have been used with intent to defraud.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So how is your mood holding up in there?
Well, I have ups and downs. Today I'm feeling reasonably good.
Mm-hmm.
The diet here has caused me some health problems, and unfortunately the medical staff here doesn't seem to be really up to par.
Well, that's a familiar story, isn't it, Fiber?
Oh, I didn't know you were there, Fiber.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I imagine you had, I imagine your GI system was thrown out of whack by what you were fed there.
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, like you said, it wasn't the best eating environment, so we kind of had to make the best of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had, I haven't been, as they say, regular for several weeks now.
Well, I don't know if we need to...
Always been an irregular kind of guy, but...
Uh-huh.
You don't happen to sleep next to a weightlifter, do you?
No, I'm fortunate to, my celly, as prison slang goes, or roommate... was just transported out of here this morning. He was brought here about a month ago on conversion of government property charges. He allegedly borrowed a tractor from a Navy base and drove it around the block and brought it back. And he was apprehended a couple days later when someone fingered him. In any case...
Well, at least they didn't kill him like the guy who stole the tank in San Diego.
Yeah, I liked that video clip where the police just pointed the gun down inside the tank and blew the guy away. That was an appropriate way of stopping a tank that was already stopped.
Yeah.
Couldn't move. But this guy had been scheduled, my cellie had been scheduled for cancer surgery. He had rather advanced lymphoma cancer, scheduled for cancer surgery in Philadelphia the day before, or the day after he was arrested. And they delayed his rapidly advancing, delayed him getting surgery on this rapidly advancing cancer for nearly a month. So this morning they transferred him to Rochester, Minnesota, where there's another federal prison that happens to be next to the Mayo Clinic. So at least he'll be getting some decent medical care at the Mayo Clinic. I hope it's not too late for him. I haven't gotten a new cellmate yet. That'll probably happen tomorrow. I've gone through six of them since I've been here.
You've got a single now, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'll cherish it for all of 24 hours or so.
Uh-huh. You've been through six cellmates.
Actually, this will be my seventh coming up tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Two of them didn't speak any English.
Yeah.
One of those two, who was from the Dominican Republic, actually, he was here for about 2 months, and about a month and a half, and I taught him a fair amount of English, so he was reasonably conversational.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent about an hour every night learning the English language, which is a pretty difficult language to learn if you don't know it.
That's certainly true. Well, now, to just recap for the sake of listeners that might not even know what this is all about, you were arrested when?
I was arrested March 15th of this year, almost exactly 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in prison since that time on what developed into two federal charges. Both statutes I'm charged with were newly passed into law earlier this year. In fact, just a few weeks before I was charged with them, these two statutes were passed into law. One of them is possession of a modified telecommunications instrument, and the other is possessing hardware or software that could facilitate the alteration or modification of telecommunications instruments.
And this is something that we should point out is extremely common to possess and not necessarily for the purposes of committing a crime.
Yes, I imagine one could modify a telecommunications instrument with a screwdriver.
Absolutely, absolutely. But in this case, we're talking about...
Computer software in this case, specifically computer software which can enable someone to program a cellular telephone's internal memory. That is memory which contains its unique electronic serial number and telephone number, which is what makes every cellular telephone identifiable to the system as being your phone and not someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I had this software is to enable other people to have two or more cellular telephones on the same telephone number. As probably many of our listeners are aware, cellular telephone carriers won't allow you to have two phones in the same number. They want you to have to pay an additional monthly access fee each additional phone.
Yeah, because they're a phone company, they get away with things like that.
Sure.
Cellular phone companies are no different from the landline, the wire phone companies. What do you call those things?
Wireline.
Yeah. So it's an extreme case of overreaction, I think, and
my attorney, who's a former federal prosecutor himself, spent 4 years in the Philadelphia office and seems pretty sharp. I'm very fortunate to have gotten him. Some friends who knew him hooked me up with him. He seems to be of the opinion that these two statutes cannot stand scrutiny in a higher federal court. He thinks there are problems with the laws itself, regardless of any evidence in my case, that the laws themselves just are bogus, which you and I know.
Right.
But from a legal standpoint, there were some problems with it as well.
Well, these are the laws that were snuck in last October.
Yes, under heavy lobbying by communications industry lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even aware of these two statutes until I was charged with them. And the Secret Service agent who participated in my arrest, he didn't even have these statutes in his book, when he started interrogating me, he didn't even have them in his hands. He said, these are so new, I don't even have them in my book yet.
Amazing. Now, so you continue to get mail when while you're in there.
Actually, my mail has dropped off to almost nothing.
Okay, so, well, then folks hear that. We need to send Bernie S. some mail so that he has something to look forward to while away the days there. You want to give out the address?
Anything as simple as a small, short letter or of encouragement or a postcard or even magazines. They don't need to be technical magazines. Any type of mental food would be greatly appreciated because it gets extremely monotonous here, and one almost goes out of their mind if you're the kind of person who needs to have their brain stimulated all the time. This is the worst place to be.
Well, yes, I would definitely imagine that. So, what address can people write to you?
The address first it goes to my name is the first line on the address. Ed Cummings, Cummings. My number is 48919-066. The second line in the address is FCI, as in Federal Correctional Institution, Fairton, that's F-A-I-R-T-O-N. Third line is P.O. Box 420, 420. Fourth line is Fairton, New Jersey, 08320. Oh, and also on that second line, after where it says FCI Fairton, if you put the words, the letter A, and then the word left, A-left, it will be routed to the proper housing unit here, so I'll probably get it a couple days earlier than
okay.
Otherwise. I ran across a piece of paper on the compound here the other day that someone must have dropped, someone on the staff here, which had sort of an internal government telephone number for this this particular institution. It's in the, it uses the 700 area code, and I haven't been able to call that number from the telephone system here. That area code is blocked. But I wanted to find out if any of your listeners would have any success in calling this particular number and seeing what they got.
This is actually listed on letterhead?
Well, that wasn't a letterhead. It was a computer printout that must have blown out of someone's hand.
Interesting, because usually 700 numbers require a specific carrier. Isn't that right, Fiber?
Typically. I mean, if the 700 happens to be owned by AT&T, you're not going to be able to call it typically with another carrier.
Well, maybe someone who has access to that particular carrier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What are you saying? Dial.
Yeah, you're free to use equal access.
Okay.
You just have to know which carrier it is.
Okay, I don't know.
All right, well, give us a number and we'll
find
out.
All the available carriers and see which one gets through.
Right.
Okay.
This number is area code 700. 298-1177.
I have to wonder, why would they have a number like this? Those numbers are good for people that move around a lot, and I don't think that prison is going to be moving around.
Probably not. The prisoners here move around a lot as far as getting transferred to places all over the country. It's strange. You'll wake up in the morning, and then two or three people that you've made friends with have just disappeared.
They never existed.
You don't know whatever happened to them. You probably experienced that Fiber when you were actually no you were in a, you were designated by the time you were incarcerated, right?
Yeah, but I mean people still come and go quite a bit.
Yeah, it's quite disconcerting. You get to know somebody and then all of a sudden they vanish and
yeah.
You don't know whatever happened to them.
Yeah, they get most usually they get transferred.
Right, but oftentimes you don't know where they've been transferred to or
right, and they don't know either.
Right, they don't know until the morning that they're woken up by a guard to say, hey, you're being moved. So
right.
It reminds me of these stories you hear about in South America where people just sort of disappear and are never heard from.
Well, yeah. It's the same basic idea, and they do get their training up here. So
right.
I imagine they just embellish upon it a little bit. So
good work.
All right. Also, I want to point out that you can email Bernie S. Through 2600, bernies@2600.com, and we will forward your message to him if you don't want to write something down on a piece of paper. But please write something because it's extremely important. It makes all the difference in the world.
It really does help. By the way, I got your envelope of email that was mailed to me via snail mail. Kind of an awkward way to get email, but
it's true.
I still got it, so thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Every little bit helps. Well, Bernie, best of luck to you. We'll probably hear from you again next week.
Yes, I'll keep you posted. We've got 3 weeks to go.
Okay, and keep calling us throughout the week, too, because we have things to update you on as well.
Great. Well, good to hear your voice. Sorry I wasn't at DEF CON.
Well, you have a good excuse.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, I've got to go. Have to hand this phone off to somebody else. There are a lot of prisoners waiting.
Okay.
Take care. Take care, Fiber.
Take it easy.
Talk to you later.
All right, good luck. That's live from federal prison, Bernie S., becoming a fixture on the program. Boy, it's unbelievable. Do you ever think this would last this long?
Actually, no.
I mean, it's so Kafka-ish, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, it just never goes anywhere. Day after day, he's in the same position, never knowing what's going to happen. And what exactly is he being charged with? You know, he should write a book. He really should. This is an incredible story. And, again, we really need help as far as getting expert witnesses that will actually go down and say things to set the record straight as far as what can be done with the cellular phone, what cannot be done with the cellular phone, and just how dangerous carrying around a red box or a modified tone dialer really is. Is that something that you would cause someone to be locked away with no bail? Seems kind of weird to me. So, getting back to what's been going on over the past couple of weeks, anything new in your life?
Yeah, actually, a couple of things. In the continuing ISDN saga, there's a problem that I was having where I wanted a caller ID for my ISDN line.
You've been wanting this for some time now.
Yeah, and ironically...
You still don't have it, do you?
No, actually, I do.
You have caller ID now?
Yeah. It's kind of ironic what happened in the end, but it just so turns out that I actually had it all along.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, after doing some searching and finally getting in touch with the right people, after going on this caller ID crusade from 9X to Motorola to Northern Telecom... And finally, I found out from people who were in the know at 9X. It turns out that caller ID is part of your basic ISDN service. It's not an extra feature.
Really?
You actually get caller ID along with basic ISDN service, so it's not something you have to order extra.
That's interesting.
Yeah, what actually happened was that the reason why I wasn't receiving caller ID on voice calls was an error on the part of the developers that developed the firmware and the ISDN hardware that I use.
So has that been fixed? Or?
It's in the works currently
now. So you still don't have caller ID, do you?
I can actually receive caller ID on data calls, but I never receive data calls.
No.
So that's kind of useless for me.
Got a call from Sprint tonight, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wanted you to change long distance.
They wanted me to make the big switch.
Wow. Well, you know, we figured out a good way to get around them when they do that. You just say, you can help me. I'm trying to dial, and I just can't seem to dial anything. No matter what I dial, the dial tone stays there. Can you please help me with this? And they say, you know, well, that's your local company. We don't deal with that. We deal with long distance. And you just keep asking questions as to how to work your phone. And believe me, they want to get off the phone quicker than you can imagine when you try that. So... So that's a neat little trick to use on the people that do that. But, you know, it's interesting. Almost everybody I visited while I was over in California, they get these phone calls, you know, from all the long-distance companies. And, you know, I see it on TV, and I guess I don't realize that this is really happening to people because I put myself behind, you know, a veritable wall where I only pick up the phone if I know who it is, if I'm in the room, if I happen to be, you know, around the phone, I feel like talking to them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way a salesman can get me in the first place. So I'm kind of leading a fantasy life, I guess. You know, I mean, you guys, you actually pick up your phone. Someone calls your number and you pick it up. It could be anyone.
Well, that's actually the first call of that type I've gotten.
Yeah?
I haven't really been solicited by any other long-distance carriers.
Of course, you've only had your phone line for about 3 days.
No, it's a couple of months.
Yeah, well... I mean, that's a couple of months to change your long-distance company. You know, you haven't gotten a bill yet for a long-distance company. So, I mean, it's kind of early to tell people to, you know, consider changing.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting. Speaking of manipulating telephone people, do you know, this is something I learned in Las Vegas through a friend of mine here in New York. I was talking to him on the phone, and he said he was going to try to leave me a message. And so... He left me a message. He said, call in, get your message. Now, first of all, okay, this is something. The hotel I stayed at was unbelievably insecure. Unbelievably insecure. You could pick up anyone's messages. anyone's messages at all. It was so incredibly simple. Maybe we'll demonstrate this. I don't know. Should we?
Sure, why not?
Okay, well, I don't have the phone number for the hotel.
Huh.
But
it should be listed, right?
Well, yeah, it should be listed. That's true. We'll do it a little later. So anyway, he left me a message. I called in to get the message. And basically the message was simply to call home. And I'm like, wow, that's a really good message there. What, you know, I called him back and I said, that's the message, call home. And he said, that's not the message I left. The message I left said, come home right now and stop gambling. Now, consider this. You're in a gambling hotel. Are they going to take that message and pass it on to one of their clients? I don't think so. No, they're just going to, at best, pass along that message that the person called. But I don't think they could even physically write down, stop gambling. Because everything you do in that place, they say, good luck. You know, have a lucky day. And not just in the hotel, in the whole town. McDonald's, you get a Big Mac, good luck. You know? I guess you'll need it, I don't know. But it's that's why that town drives me completely mad. But enough said about that. You see the net? Actually, I know you saw the net because
yeah.
There was an article in the newspaper that was quoting you.
Right.
Saying the net was nonsense.
Yeah, well, as far as, I mean, I don't know what exactly people are expecting, but I mean, it was a movie, it was entertaining. And, you know, above all, it was fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I hope people aren't going to the movie to expect to see, well, gosh, that's what everyone's talking about.
Right.
You know, it's not real. It's you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised by the slant that they gave the article, as if to, and then to quote the director.
Yeah, he was mad at you.
He was angry. He said that he talked to some top officials with the.
They don't know what they're talking about.
He spoke to some top officials with security consulting firms and the FBI or something.
Right.
Who obviously say that everything in the movie is perfectly feasible.
Erwin Winkler said
that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it tried. It tried to present an interesting story. But, you know, towards the end, I think it just completely fell apart. Remember that chase scene? And if you haven't seen the film, don't worry about it. The chase scene where she's with the fake FBI agent.
Right.
Okay. And she just suddenly realizes that he's a fake FBI agent because he knew something that he couldn't possibly know.
Right. And then he gets that evil look on his face.
Yeah.
And then they crash.
Then, well, she grabs control of the wheel. She hits the gas pedal.
Right.
And of course, this is going on for about 25 minutes where she's hit the gas pedal and they're driving all over the city. And then all of a sudden they start skidding and they crash into a car that the person that has been chasing her from the beginning of the film happens to be sitting in.
Right.
Now, what are the odds of you crashing into a car somewhere in the city and it happens to be the one with the person that's chasing you in it parked?
That seemed unlikely.
That was crazy. That was absolutely absurd.
My complaint was the only redeemable character, Dennis Miller, they kill off.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that one.
Dennis Miller was good.
Oh, yeah. And the thing was that, how do they kill him? First of all, they get him sick, and the way they get him sick is, you know that he has allergies, you know that he's taking Celdane, which is a major brand antihistamine prescription drug.
Okay.
Then, for purposes of, I guess, visual effect, they obviously the so-called hackers misprescribe him penicillin, which he's allergic to, and when he passes out at the wheel driving his car, they zoom in on the bottle of pills, and clearly marked, it says penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was taking Celdane, I think I would have noticed when I picked up my pills that it said penicillin on the bottle. And even if I didn't, Celdane pills look extremely different than any kind of penicillin that you're ever going to take. And if anyone has ever taken any kind of antibiotic, like any kind of the penicillins, they stink. They smell moldy.
Okay, apart from all that, though, I mean, he was preoccupied being in a major film and all, but how does a pharmacy get on the net in the first place where people can get in and change prescriptions? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The biggest misconception that I pointed out in the interview was that, I'm sorry, but like every single computer in the world just simply isn't connected to the Internet.
That's right.
As much as people would like to think it is.
I mean, this was prime fodder for the Unabomber people, you know, who distrust society, technology at every juncture.
Yeah.
It can foster a lot of paranoia because, you know, people see technology creeping in, barcodes, left and right, categorization, and they're going to be very, very afraid and hostile to it. Now, that's not to say that's not a correct attitude to have in certain situations. Absolutely. There's way too much information being stored on us.
Well, caution is one thing, but hostility is another.
But to think that somebody could completely destroy your life, completely dominate you, become you, that's kind of a little
far-fetched.
It leads you to lead kind of a resigned life, that there's no hope for the individual. And I don't think that's true.
I wonder how many people walked out of that movie theater and became Luddites.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I guess that's what the Praetorians were. that strange group of people.
Yeah.
Now, how could somebody live a life and not be able to prove who they were?
Never go out. Never be recognized by neighbors.
What about school? Didn't she go to school ever? You know, wouldn't people have remembered her? Distant relatives?
Yeah, somebody.
Anybody. I mean, it's an interesting premise.
Yeah.
But
it was a premise of convenience.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our take on the net. A bit preposterous, a bit.
Future people are going to watch films and figure out what films they came from.
Yeah.
But based on what you're telling me, I can narrow it down to a combination of Demolition Man, The Fugitive.
Mm-hmm. The Fugitive was a good film, though.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a good film. They threw a little Max Headroom into there.
Probably, yes.
And of course, I'm missing one thing. Something else with the word man in it. Lawnmower Man,
which I never saw.
Yeah, Lawnmower Man.
People told me it was vile.
It was a good movie.
Was it?
I liked it, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was good.
Now, there was some news concerning the upcoming Hackers film, which is coming out in September.
Yeah, there was, actually.
Why don't you tell us what happened here, because this is kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, actually, I received an email note.
Did you do it?
No. I received an email note that apparently there was a report in California that a particular website that was put up on behalf of MGM United Artists mm-hmm. for the upcoming Hacker film was vandalized. So I took a look at the URL. I connected to the site. And lo and behold, the site was apparently modified in a joking manner. And what was apparently done was there was a picture, a GIF picture of two of the main characters in the film,
mm-hmm.
which was graffitied on, kind of like
spray painted.
Yeah, it was almost as if it was spray painted.
Okay.
And the text of the page was changed around. Surprisingly, there was it was a goof.
It was a good goof, yes.
So surprisingly, there was no profanity. Which struck me as extremely odd.
That does seem kind of strange.
The only thing profane that I saw on the page was a claim in flashing letters saying that the writer of the film should die.
Well, that's not exactly profane.
No, well, it was a nasty thing.
Yeah, it's a nasty thing.
But, yeah, because everything else on there was generally poking fun at the movie and just like, you know, changing around the wording mm-hmm. of the page and so on. And,
so do you think this is a big publicity stunt?
See, originally I thought that it might have been a stunt pulled by MGM
mm-hmm.
or by MGM.
It's a good stunt.
Yeah, getting someone to do this, the fact that the movie's coming out next month. The things that didn't make any sense is their mention of what's it called? DEF CON, the DEF CON mm-hmm. conference.
Yeah, that didn't make sense. They said it was a DEF CON production. It's like they're throwing out a word.
Yeah, they said that, and they had a link to the DEF CON page. They had uh-huh. a link to your homepage, Frack's homepage.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, they claimed to be the Praetorians from the movie and put the little pie symbol and said, don't see this movie, go see the net,
mm-hmm.
which made even less sense.
Yeah.
It was almost as if they were hired by...
Well, that's something MGM definitely wouldn't do. They wouldn't go out and say, see this other film.
Yeah, right. Made
by another company.
But, we pieced together a couple of clues anyway. Is that a picture that they used
mm-hmm.
of a bunch of people standing around in what looked like a public place?
Right, right.
Yeah, it turned out that by viewing the source of the homepage, that the name of this particular GIF file was called Blarney. And if anyone out there is familiar with Blarney Stone chain of bar hangouts,
this is not it.
This is not it. No, this is the Blarney Rock,
which is a
reasonable facsimile of Blarney Stone.
That's
Stones.
The bar that everybody hung out in after Hope.
Yeah.
Night after night, and got totally trashed.
And what we did notice is that someone in this picture, and a picture on your site were wearing the exact same T-shirt.
Yeah, so it was taken at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know what it had to do with this particular event.
No, I have no idea either.
I just had a bunch of people on. But you notice something today, that their eyes got covered up today.
Yeah, somebody apparently blacked out their eyes, which yeah. wasn't like that as recently as yesterday.
So something corporate's going on here, I think.
Yeah, and the most surprising thing is that MGM claimed that they thought this was curious and unique, and they decided to leave it up as it was.
Now, how does something like this happen? How do you get into a web page?
Well, actually, I did some checking. Some people I was talking with last night, because I was highly suspicious, but they claimed that the particular site in question was, in fact, insecure.
Uh-huh.
So it was definitely possible that somebody got into the site and did do this.
Uh-huh.
But it was running on a Unix machine. It would require someone to, get into the machine. It is on the net, and obtain super user privileges or whatever privileges would have been necessary.
Webmaster.
Yeah, whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
and whoever the owner of the web server is, and so on. And in effect, what they had to do was. For example, to graffiti up that picture, that's a file, it was a GIF image, they simply could have downloaded the file
mm-hmm.
onto their PC or Mac, loaded it up into some paint program,
mm-hmm.
and proceeded to scribble all over it and then upload it back. And then the text they could have edited right then and there online. It's just straight text, ASCII text. And presto, the website is now modified.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Well, it is.
I mean, you have all these websites popping up everywhere, and now you can, if they're silly enough to be insecure, you can actually change their message, which is all they're trying to get out, is, some sort of PR.
Yeah, it's kind of like being able to change a giant billboard on the top of a building.
Yeah, exactly.
Without having to cross anything out.
Imagine if we had access to that, how much MCI is saving AT&T thing that's all over the place. Boy, well, I'd have a field day with that one.
Yeah.
You could
have a countdown the savings.
Yeah. There was one moving backwards.
Really?
Yes, I heard about it a couple of years ago. There was one moving backwards. But never mind that. Well, okay, that's interesting. If anyone has any more information on that kind of thing, please let us know about it, because it's all interesting stuff. Our phone number is 279-3400, area code 212. We're going to take some phone calls and share some other experiences. What do you want to bet this first call is,
Hi, Eric.
Yeah, it's got to be him. It's got to be him. But, every time I say that, it's not.
Yeah.
If I don't say it, it is. Okay, it's not him.
Okay.
Good evening, you're on.
Hello, Emmanuel.
See? Hi, how you doing?
All right. Some very interesting news concerning LDDS Metromedia.
Can you speak up a bit?
Let me kill this switch here.
Yeah, kill that switch.
No.
That's much better.
All right. Concerning LDDS, now it's called LDDS WorldCom.
Right.
I had switched my long distance service to them in a pretty linear 10 cents a minute, 20 cents from a payphone with their card. They bought out WillTel.
Yes, they did.
When did this happen?
This happened a while ago. It was at least a month or just about a month ago, I think.
I thought WillTel was buying things out. Now,
WillTel got bought. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, now I have LDDS. My number's probably going to be showing up all over the place now.
Because of the caller ID, nationwide caller ID of WillTel.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that Sprint and MCI also have nationwide caller ID in effect now.
What about AT&T?
Not as of yet, but, as of the end of the year, as of December, I think it's going to be mandated nationwide, so it doesn't matter what company you have.
But now, with this nationwide caller ID, will there also be nationwide anonymous call rejection?
There should be. There should be blocking. There should be call rejection, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Originally, the law they had in place was not very friendly to the consumer. Yeah, it was basically the consumer had to have their line not block. It would default to not blocking, and now you can change that. You can have it block if you want to. That's after pressure from consumer groups.
Yeah, to my knowledge, they're supposed to support the star 67 star 82 pair nationwide for enabling and disabling caller ID being transmitted.
Another thing, I hear that Alaska is still using R1 signaling.
I don't know for sure if that's true, but I do know that they do not have AT&T up there.
It's like, I heard it was like GTE, the phone company.
I think it's called Alascom, is that correct?
That's one of the companies up
there. Yeah, and
there
are two companies.
GTE might serve also up there.
Yeah,
but,
it's pretty primitive.
The thing is...
The rumors that you could actually dial Alaska direct and break it with 2600 and box off of that. I'd be getting that all over the net.
Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there?
Yeah. Weep. Yep. I'll see you later.
Okay. I mean, whistling down a phone line couldn't be a crime, could it?
No, of course not.
Day and age?
Not in this day and age. But what is that, area code 907?
907, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hey, I was in a lot of area codes. I was in 310.
Yeah.
Soon to be 562.
310, that's the other half of 213.
That's the other half of 213. Yeah. And remember 818 used to be part of 213 as well?
Yeah.
I mean, those area codes are splitting off faster than you can count them.
It's like mitosis.
It's like a virus is what it is. It's out of control. Good evening, you're on.
Good evening. Let's see. Two points. Since Mr. Emmanuel, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting your last name.
Hang on.
Goldman.
Goldman. Goldstein.
Goldstein.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Since you are a AT&T True Connection subscriber, presumably you got the recent notice that over a dozen, mostly very small and obscure countries, plus one high population country, Pakistan, have been taken off of the list of most of the, of all the USA Direct countries, those that are in USA Direct.
So they misbehaved and they got taken off the list.
They got taken off the list.
Hmm.
And did you happen to find out why? I know the answer, but I'm just curious as to.
No, I don't. I imagine somebody was making phone calls to those countries without the intention of paying for them.
Not exactly. It's a little. Okay, here's what it was. I happened to see in the New York edition of the New York Times, which is the one that gets onto microfilm and is distributed in the Northeast and Puerto Rico only with regular mail subscriptions, and I don't think they would have paid for it in the national edition copies. But anyway, this is AT&T, it's not 9X. Sure, they might have been in the national edition too. Anyway, it's a legal notice, and it listed all these countries, and I thought that was very curious. I didn't know the little mail notice. The mail notice didn't actually explain it at all. So I called up, and the regular customer service representative on, like 800, AT&T, 1500 or whatever, press 4, said that people, it all has to do with these erotic chat lines where now you call overseas countries, including Dominican Republic and 809 and so forth.
Right. Yet another way to get around 900 blocking and things like that.
Okay. So that's
outrageous
what that all amounted to. And apparently they are, I think the guy couldn't be too specific, but apparently people were, a lot of them may be taking advantage of the thing where you can run up one big bill, one smaller, one big bill, and then get it written off, as long as you don't do it more than once, because that way you can be claiming it was someone else in your household and you really didn't know what was going on and so forth.
I
suppose. So anyway, that's why all these countries were taken off. Item number two, turning to item number two. The phone number 700-298-1177.
You've already checked this out. Okay, what do you got?
Well, it does not work via the secondary carrier, five-digit carrier codes to soon become seven-digit codes of AT&T, either one of MCI's, that is 10222 or 10888, either one of Sprint's, 10333 or 10SPR, the one of Long Distance Wholesale Club or whatever it is, 10297, Western Union, 10220, Cable and Wireless, 10223, and finally, just for good measure, I not only tried 10NYT,
mm-hmm.
You know it's not supposed to go out to the five Corridor counties, right? And
right.
This is Fairton is down in South Jersey. And for totally, just to say, be able to say I'd done it, 10NJB, which, of course, is only usable from New Jersey,
right?
But I tried them all anyway, even though I'm in New York. I also tried my own carrier's secondary carrier code in addition to just trying as a dial one call without any secondary. So I was running out of all the secondary carrier codes I know, and it doesn't work on any of those upwards of a dozen or whatever in any case.
Well, it sounds like a mystery.
Somebody in New Jersey, if they want to try, if they try 10NJB, then that's only to go to the five boroughs in New York City. So
that's true. Maybe just trying a default of 1-700 within New Jersey might might result in something strange.
I didn't think of just trying it plain. Oh, no, I did. Okay, I did via my carrier with no secondary code, though, as I say, I'm in New York. I tried plain 1-700.
Okay, well, we will get to the bottom of this.
Let's hope. Bye-bye.
Thanks for all the info and the investigation and all that kind of thing. I don't know. What do you think? You think this is some sort of military thing?
No, I don't know. He didn't happen to mention AllNet, did he?
10444.
Yeah.
I doubt it's AllNet. You know?
Well, it wouldn't hurt to try.
Did he do Wiltel, 10555?
I don't think he... Did he mention that?
I don't know. I don't remember. Well, any event, you know, if anybody figures out... What's the number again? You have it there?
Yeah, it's 298-1177.
Area code 700.
Yeah.
Okay, I wonder if it could be some sort of internal thing.
I don't know.
An internal prison number? Wow.
Well, we'll certainly look.
If you get through, just let us know, because we're curious. It's the only reason we're doing this. We're not trying to dismantle the federal prison system. We're not trying to overthrow the government. We're not trying to, you know, do nasty things. We are just curious. I guess that is kind of nasty in this day and age. 279-3400, area code 212. Good evening. You're on.
Hi. Two brief questions. First of all, you mentioned you were in Las Vegas.
Yes, I did.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but is it true, in most major hotels, any phone calls you place from your room are either recorded or monitored? Is that true?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, but...
I know that's done in Atlantic City, but I don't know, like...
They
just,
really should tell you if they do that.
I don't know if they just keep a record of who you call
of
or
course.
They actually eavesdrop and listen in on the call.
Well, of course they keep a record of who you call, and
all
they probably keep...
Do
yeah,
that.
They keep a record of every number you dial, so if you enter a calling card, that goes on their little itemization, too.
Plus, I'm thinking, like, if you want to call, like, for some female company or something which you would rather not get at... It might be used or it might show up in some unsavory manner.
That's certainly true.
The second thing is, this goes back to when I was a kid, and maybe you can tell me about this, how it worked, why it worked, if it still works. Friends of mine, they would, like, come into my apartment, they would, like, press certain numbers on the touch-tone phone, hang up, and, like, 5 seconds later... The phone would ring, but no one would answer. That was like a trick all the kids knew. Could you, like, explain what that was all about?
No, it's a secret. We can't tell you. All right. No, we'll let him in on it, too. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll hang up and listen, but
okay.
Could you just try 0 and have the operator try the 700 number? That work?
Well, no, I think that's what he's been trying.
It wouldn't make much of a difference.
No,
still go through. Actually, no, 0 won't be able to do it.
Yeah, they just won't be able to.
Okay, I'll hang up and listen to the answer about that trick. But I'm calling from my AT&T 210 phone. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
Not off the top of my head.
Mickey Mouse phone.
Okay.
I was just wondering the connection between AT&T and Disney, since like I'm sure they had a license. You know, the caricature of Mickey Mouse to use on the phone. I mean, Disney now is getting so big, they might be the next target for people in your field to go after. But I'll hang up now and listen to your stuff. Bye.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, we have printed frequencies for Disneyland and Disney World, but it's always kind of hard to take on Mickey Mouse and look triumphant, but I don't know. So, okay, let's explain the secret thing here of how to make your phone ring.
Well, first, we didn't...
Can't believe people still get excited over this.
Yeah, we didn't teach him the secret handshake, though. I don't know if
we'll mail him that.
Yeah,
that?
Okay. But well, if he's claiming that he did this when he was a kid, what he most likely was doing, if he was in New York City, he was dialing the old-fashioned way, just 660.
He could have been a kid 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
But
can't assume things of our listeners.
Okay. Well, in any case, it's 660-something.
Right.
But in that case, if it was on a crossbar or a step-by-step switch... It would have been 660, which would have returned a dial tone.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, at least when 1s and 1A ESSs started popping up, they would actually connect the crossbars on an adjunct connection to a 1 or a 1A ESS, and the particular line that it was adjuncted into had speed calling. What they would usually do is they would program in a speed calling number to call up a test number that actually did ring back.
Okay.
So that in essence what you were doing is if you had a rotary phone, you would dial 660 and wait for a dial tone and then dial 112.
Now, did you know that you could actually program those speed numbers yourself?
Actually, I'm probably the only person I know that discovered that initially.
Oh, I know other people have done it, but maybe you're the one that discovered it. I don't know.
Well, the easiest thing to do is to deprogram ring back.
Mm-hmm.
You can just program 2 to do something else that isn't valid.
And was there limitations to where it could call?
Yeah, a lot of them couldn't call anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them could only call certain exchanges. The most useful thing that I ever found it that I was able to do when I was still on Crossbar was to be able to dial 660 and then use carrier access codes
mm-hmm.
that give you a carrier on their network. Like, for example, you could dial 660 and then dial 10488 pound.
Okay.
When it was when it used to be ITT.
And you get a dial tone.
And you get a dial tone from ITT.
Uh-huh.
And nowadays, if you're still on or a 1 or a 1 or a 1 AESS where you can still do that, gets mm-hmm. dial 660 and immediately get the dial tone. And you might try dialing, playing around with carrier access codes. But you'd be able to actually make an ANI free call by going through 660 and doing, for example, the equivalent of 10488 pound or a carrier that'll give you a dial tone on their network.
That can be useful sometimes,
yeah.
having that pesky ANI following you around. okay, so basically 660 plus, back in the old days, 660 and nothing. Just,
yeah, 660 alone.
And then dialing some extra digits after that. Or 660 plus last four digits, 660 plus last seven digits.
Yeah, on a DMS-100, it's 660 in the entire phone numbers, all seven digits. On 5ESS, it's 660 in the last four digits.
Right, and you flash the receiver,
right.
hang up, and... hang up again, and it rings.
For people that are curious on the 1s, 1As, and 5ESSs, and also on the crossbars, after you flash the switch hook the final time, or the only time, when you're getting ready to hang up to have the phone ring back,
mm-hmm.
what you could do is, at that second dial tone, you can actually dial in every touch tone in sequence, and it'll beep twice. To actually
right.
confirm that all the touch tones are in tune.
Although, you know, I broke the order sometimes and it still beeped twice.
Yeah, it's confusable.
It's very confusable.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Good evening, you're on Off the Hook.
Yes. First of all, could you tell me, with Ed Cummings, what is the story? Is he still in trouble?
He's still in prison. His trial date has been set for September 8th.
Okay.
With a bail hearing for the day before.
Okay. My second question is this. I've tried to reach you guys. I've offered to, supply some extra help if you need, like, a messenger, a legal messenger, or somebody to sit in the trial.
Okay. You've left your number with us?
I've done it a couple times. It never gets through. It's not
if you've left it with us, we have it, and we will call you if we need something.
Hello?
Yeah. We'll be calling you if we need something of that nature. You said that you're available to do messenger-type things?
Yeah. Listen, when you hang up, don't hang up. Just give somebody a phone, and I'll, when you go on to the next caller, I'll give you my number. Maybe I can give it over this phone.
Actually, our phone system isn't set up that way. We don't have an actual phone attached to this.
1 minute has ended.
Ooh, 1 minute has ended.
Went through.
Okay.
Signal went through.
Well, signal them however you want to signal them.
Hello?
What does that mean anyway, signal went through?
It means usually hang up.
Say, hey, I'm through.
Yeah.
They very often hang up on you.
Yeah.
By the way, 607 area code,
that's Rochester.
Yeah.
Rochester, New York.
Yeah, it's Delaware County, where, as far as I was concerned.
Delaware County, New York?
Pulling from,
okay.
I was calling to Deposit, New York. I think it's like 20 miles away from Hancock, New York, the village of Hancock.
The town is called Deposit.
The pay phone, right? The pay phones are, you cannot put coins into them until the call has gone through, and the operator sits on the phone call until she hears the call is completed.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, has gone through, and then you can put your coins in.
Uh-huh. There's some cocots like that, too.
Uh-huh.
That require you to put in money after you connect.
Uh-huh.
So,
can I leave my number with somebody?
You've left it on the 2600 answer machine, right?
Have you picked it up?
If you left it there, we have it. And if we need something, we will definitely be contacting you. And we should point out other people, if they want to volunteer in any way to help out, whatever their abilities, please leave information on 516-751-2600. If we don't get back to you right away, it's because we're swamped with all kinds of calls and putting out a magazine and trying to get mail through and things like that.
You're an editor, right?
Yeah. That's what they tell me.
Just one more thing.
Yes.
I do have some experience with the legal system myself. You know, maybe I would love to be able to give my advice through one of you guys. I would love to have a conversation with Mr. Ed Cummings if I could get him to call me collect somehow.
Uh-huh. Well,
Is there somebody... You know, my name is Phil, and I'm...
Right. Well, we can pass that information on to Bernie S., and if he's able to, you know, maybe he'll do that.
Yeah.
And we can also give you the legal person's name to contact over there as well.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk to a lawyer until I talk to you guys first. You know?
Okay. All right, I understand. Okay, listen, we're out of
time.
All right. You're going to get in a lot of trouble there if you don't deal with that situation you have. So I'll let him deal with that.
He better signal that he's through.
He better signal. They'll be signaling for him. They're signaling for us. We're out of time. It's practically 11 o'clock. So another week has gone by. We'll be back again next week, live, I believe, right?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? And we'll have updates on this story and others. There's a few things we didn't get to this week, but we'll get to it next week. Till then, this is Emmanuel Goldstein saying good night, stay awake, play with your phones, and let us know what happens when you do. Stay tuned for the WBAI Evening News. Good night.
Good evening. In the news tonight, still no answers as to why Gulf War vets continue to have health problems. Reactions to Newt Gingrich, both in his home district and in the District of Columbia. In New York, an Indian lesbian and gay organization and groups that support it are banned from the Indian Day Parade. And a talk with Stanley Cohen, attorney for the Hamas political leader detained in New York. With these and other stories, I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Verna Avery Brown in Washington, and this is the news for Wednesday, August 16, 1995. First to the Pacifica Network News.
Colombia's president has decided to declare a state of emergency, according to the Caracol Radio Network. Among the measures to be imposed, stiffer prison sentences for kidnappers and the suspension of legal rights for already imprisoned leftist guerrillas. Yesterday, Colombia's defense minister was arrested on charges he knew about the alleged financing of the president's election campaign with drug dollars. In Sao Tome, the military coup leaders say they will accept Angolan mediation and a resolution will be in hand in 24 hours. State Department spokesperson David Johnson told reporters what the coup means in terms of the $300,000 in U.S. aid.
It's going to be suspended.
It is?
Yeah, in accordance with U.S. law, yeah.
The coup leaders say they plan to form a transitional government that will rule the African nation for 1 year. Senator Bill Bradley of New Jersey today announced he will not run for a fourth term. The Democrat called the nation's political system broken and criticized both Republicans and Democrats. Bradley says he will not leave public life, but was not specific about his future plans. Unnamed sources reportedly say the plans do not include a challenge to President Clinton. Bradley is the sixth Democrat to retire from the U.S. Senate. The New York Times calls it one of the luscious settlements of a plant-closing dispute ever. In West Virginia, Maytag closed the doors of its West Virginia plant where Coca-Cola vending machines were made in 1991. The work moved to South Carolina, where workers received about half the West Virginia wages. Yesterday, a judge approved a preliminary agreement settling what became a class-action lawsuit from the West Virginia workers. Pacifica's Laura Iyama reports.
Maytag will be shelling out $11.5 million to 800 workers for closing down its plant in West Virginia. Jane Lang, a partner in the Washington and Minneapolis law firm of Springer & Lang, reached the settlement with Maytag's attorney on the third day of the trial in a cemetery in Charlestown, West Virginia. Lang says the workers had been promised consistently for 2 years before the plant's closure that their jobs were secure, and then in 1991, their jobs were gone.
These
folks were put out on the street unceremoniously, and many of them have never recovered their lives as a result. So as one of them put it, this has been a victory for the little guys.
Maytag maintains it did nothing wrong, but agreed to the settlement as a matter of risk avoidance. Attorney Lang believes Maytag could have avoided the lawsuit had it given the workers the same severance package as its management. Lang says because the actual management package had not been raised yet in the trial, she could not reveal it. However,
it's not uncommon management generally to provide anything from 6 months to 3 years of pay to people at, who have had some significant tenure at a company and who are at a managerial level.
Can you tell us what the workers got?
The workers got nothing. The workers got zip.
Lang says she hopes the multi-million-dollar settlement will send companies the message. Be as fair to all your employees as to your top-ranking management. Laura Iyama, Pacifica Network News, Washington.
In Zimbabwe, President Robert Mugabe warned should gay rights activists come to his country, they will be thrown in jail. The Zimbabwe leader also called for an international campaign to oppose those who support homosexuality. This is the third public criticism of homosexuals since Zimbabwe banned a gay rights exhibit at a book fair this month. After a one-day delay due to Hurricane Felix, Bermudans are going to the polls to decide whether or not to end their status as a British colony. At least 15,000 would have to vote for independence for Bermuda to close out its 386-year history as a colony of Britain. And those are the stories topping the news. The President's Advisory Panel on Gulf War Veterans Illnesses wrapped up its introductory hearings yesterday. The committee met just 2 weeks after the Department of Defense released the results of its own research. The Pentagon claims there's no evidence of a single so-called Gulf War syndrome. But some critics charge the DOD is covering up the severity of the problem, like they did with Agent Orange and Vietnam War veterans. And even the Institute of Medicine has disputed the Pentagon's findings. Mark Beavis reports.
The President's Advisory Committee was formed last May. The 12-member panel consists of doctors, lawyers, academics, a general, and a union health and safety officer. And they had their first two-day meeting earlier this week, during which the members heard from cabinet officers and other high government officials